One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried at the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but all I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While a beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Men of Israel, why did this surprise you? Why do you stare at us if we bring our own, as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that the murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know and known was made strong. It is Jesus' name and faith that comes to him and has given him this complete healing to him, as you can all see. Now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Amen. Okay, before Paul comes and speaks, now let's pray for him. So, Father God, we thank you, Lord, for Paul, Lord, for the work he does, Lord, in serving you, Lord, for the work he does in the church, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, just bless him, Lord, and speak through him now, Lord, that we'll have listening hearts, Lord, and attentive words, Lord, for what you have to say to us here this morning, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Steve. Okay. It's quite funny, really, when people ask you to speak on a topic, and you think, "Well, that's not the topic I would have chosen." But boldness. I always think of Star Trek, to boldly go where no man has gone before. We read Acts 3 and we saw the change in the early disciples. As we heard last week in Acts, as Chris told us, with those of you who were there, we see the start of the church, and it's alive, vibrant, full of love, joy. It had purpose. They were eager to share their faith, their belongings, and all that they had with each other. Isn't that amazing? Whenever I read that, I always think I'm astonished. And the question I ask myself is why? What had brought about this change? What had happened to these guys? I suggest to you, well, I don't suggest, I believe the truth is they had found the meaning to life. As we all know who are Christians, without Jesus, we are lost in every sense of the word. But not with Jesus in our lives, we have hope and meaning. Jesus gives our life meaning, does he not? He gives us purpose. It starts to make sense. And as we read Acts, the beautiful picture of the early church, but as we go through Acts, as we'll see in this series, it was not without its problems. So I have to ask myself, hopefully you're asking the same question when you read things like, what has gone wrong? What has happened to me, to you, and this body we call church? When we think about the verses that Steve read for us in Acts 3 and compare the church to today and our own spiritual walk, there seems to be a lack of desire, a lack of urgency to be about God's business. We want to see the church active and growing. That's what it is about. We need, I believe, the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. And in one of those areas, as we're going to share a little bit this morning, is boldness. So what is boldness? Let me read you this, that I as I was searching around for the ideas of boldness. What does the world think about boldness? I came across this, which I thought was quite interesting and quite good in some ways, but still full of flaws. To fulfill our vision, we need to be bold. We need to let go of our fears. Boldness is the magic brew that spurs us on to venture beyond known territories, undertake new adventures, make bigger dreams. A healthy dose of boldness is required if we want our lives to change. It is the kickstart to life, a life of being free from fear. That doesn't sound too bad. Does it? Sounds okay, it sounds quite reasonable. But I was looking at it, it's rather vague in how you obtain boldness. It's this magic brew. That's what he calls it, the magic brew of boldness. Now, I don't know how they assume you get this, but maybe you need a lifestyle guru, I don't know, or a lifestyle coach, whatever they have these days in the human world, to find this boldness. But for us as Christians, we are called to be salt and light to a lost world, are we not? And that can cause many of us, many Christians, to go into a state of meltdown. We have all these things going through our head. Who am I? I'm not up to it. I'm not a very good Christian. I can't share my faith. I don't know how. It's too hard. Well, I have an answer for you. Don't worry. If this is you, and it's me, because Moses said exactly the same. Moses, that great man of God. In Exodus 3, we read, God spoke to him. He said, you remember the story? God spoke to him and asked him to go and tell Pharaoh to set my people free. Moses' reply, if you read Acts in Exodus 3, was, who am I to go to Pharaoh? I think it's quite a natural human response. Who am I? Who am I? That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Who am I? Who am I? But God replied, and he's replying to Moses and to us, I will be with you. I will be with you. And what I'd like to do now is, remembering that God says, I will be with you, I'd like to read three short extracts from Acts 4 and 5 that can help us in our search for boldness to set the scene. This first section from Acts 4 is the word of God was spreading after Pentecost, and this did not please the Pharisees, the religious leaders, and they naturally wanted to blot it out. They wanted to stamp on it, to put the brakes on. And why did they do that? It was by threats and intimidation. And in Acts 4:29, we read, this is what the disciples were praying. Thou Lord, consider their threats. Enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after they had prayed, the place where they were met was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. Question is that our prayer? Do we want to be that involved with God that he takes us into areas that are beyond our comfort zone, like the apostles and the disciples there? Do you want to share the gospel? If you do, we need this boldness. Is that your prayer? Then we read in Acts 5, verse 19, the apostles had been put in jail for preaching and healing in the name of Jesus. And what are we told? But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people of the full message of the new life. At daybreak, they entered the temple courts, as they had been told, and began to teach the people. Now, I don't know about you, but my instant thought is, why didn't they make a run for it? Why didn't they make a break for the hills? That's where I would have gone. But they were obedient, and they had this boldness. And obedience and boldness all comes from the Holy Spirit. And again, this third clip from the Acts. Acts 5, the apostles had just been flogged for preaching God's word. So can you see the pattern there? There is suffering involved in being a Christian. The apostles left the Sanhedrin, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name, that is, the name of Jesus. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. They rejoiced after being flogged because they felt that they had been deemed worthy to suffer for the gospel. A question I asked, when was the last time any of us were flogged for the gospel? Maybe not physically, but spiritually and mentally we can go through a flogging. So, let's not rule out that, even when we're working and doing God's will and being obedient and being bold, the enemy will still try and attack us through many different ways. That's not necessarily physical either. As I say, as Christians, we need to be about God's business. And that is our purpose as disciples, is to share the gospel. But the question I want to ask us again now then is going back to this whole idea of boldness. What does it mean? What do we mean about boldness? And we're told in the dictionary, I always like to go to the dictionary, those who know me. We're told boldness is not hesitating or fearful in the face of actual or possible danger or rebuff. It's courageous and daring, not hesitating to break the rules of propriety. That's what the dictionary says about boldness. Does that sound like you? No, me. No. All I'm suggesting to us all this morning is that we all need a good dose of boldness. But not human boldness. We need Holy Spirit-breathed boldness. That's how we see the change in the disciples. Why were they like that? Not because they were doing it in their own strength, because, as we'll see now, the Holy Spirit was at work. Let's listen to these words in John 20, verse 19. This was after Jesus was crucified. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. For fear of the Jews. Just think about it. They had just lost their leader and friend. Their hopes and dreams had vanished. The future appeared bleak, to say the least. But, these were the same people who, in a matter of weeks later, turned the whole world upside down. What had happened? What had changed these people from being frightened, fearful, to being bold, courageous, and on fire for God? Well, the answer is Pentecost. Pentecost is what happened. The Holy Spirit came on them, and they were never the same again. You were never the same again. Let's read Acts 4 again. Now the Lord consider thy threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Does that sound like frightened people to you? No, to me it sounds like people who have been filled with the Holy Spirit. And the question we have to ask ourselves, are we any different? Are we any different? Well, the answer is no. We are still people like the disciples were people. The same Holy Spirit is here this morning, and he can enable us to work for the kingdom and the honour of Jesus. We can be bold for the kingdom if we are just open to the Holy Spirit. And then if we read on to the next verse, it said, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. God answers prayer. There is nothing we can offer, humanly speaking, that can attract people to the gospel of God. There's nothing in us. There's nothing wrong. But we can make ourselves available to God, and he will use us. He will use us. Let's not kid ourselves now. If we make ourselves available to God, he will use us. He will take us out of the world. It doesn't matter what qualities we lack, how our life is going, it doesn't matter. If we are mean business with God, he will use us. That's what we need to get into our thick noddles sometimes, that it doesn't matter where you're at, God can use you. But obviously, of course, for God to use us, we must be in a relationship with him. We must know Christ as our Saviour. And we must make ourselves available to him, to desire to live a life of faith for Jesus. As we're told in Romans 12, verse 1, therefore I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Our spiritual act of worship involves the heart, the mind, and the will. It is all of us, who we are. Not just bits when it suits us. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to work through us by being, as he said, being available, by being a channel for the Holy Spirit. A channel is guides water to refresh parts. You see channels, they use them for water. It's a great picture of the Holy Spirit. And we are God's channel. He chooses to use us as channels for his Holy Spirit to work in us to reach out to a lost world. The other picture is we are lampstands. We are lampstands. We are just the lampstand. Jesus is the light. But we've got to be an available lampstand for that light to shine on it, to shine out, to catch the world, to set the world on fire by that light that is on our lampstand. We are a lampstand. All we can do as God's people is make us avail ourselves available. Where do we start in making ourselves available? How does it work, you know? First of all, as I say, we've got to make ourselves available. We've got to be open to allowing the Holy Spirit to move in our life. But then where do we go next? Well, this is what Jesus told a believer in Mark 5. Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you. The toughest place to be a Christian of all is in your own family, I believe. Witnessing to strangers is okay. It's good, and you can be blessed. But it's a far tougher job witnessing to your family, because they know you. They know what you like. They know what your hang-ups. You know when you lose your temper. And they know your failings. It's a tough call. But I would suggest to you, just be yourself and allow the Holy Spirit to work in you and use you. Obviously, other places where God can use us is in our work community, where we live, in our... wherever, if we are open to God, then God will use us. But remember, it's not just about words. It's not just about standing and proclaiming your gospel. It's also about actions. And actions can say more about you than just speaking. Sometimes a kind word, an action of help, or even a listening ear. This all shows the love of God. And sometimes to do those things, you have to be bold. You're putting yourself out there on a limb. And sometimes you will be rebuffed, and that's tough. But God will see you and see the heart with which you are doing things. Now, you're not expected to lead everyone you speak to Christ. If you do, praise God. But part of our calling is to be sowers, waterers, and harvesters. And at times we'll all do different parts of that work, but it's all part of God's calling, right? So if you're saying to me, I've never led somebody to Christ, and that saddens you, then keep praying about it, and I'm sure God will give you the opportunity. But remember as well, by who you are and what you say, you are planting seeds, and you are watering God's word to a lost world. I say to you, don't be surprised when others show an interest. Don't be surprised. If you open yourself up to the Holy Spirit, as you say, will do the business. When people show an interest in Jesus, Jesus will give you the words, be told. He'll give you the words to say. Just be yourself. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you. You are unique, right? Nobody is like you. And God has given you a purpose to be about God's business. I think I say that nearly every time I stand up the front. And I say that as much to myself as anybody here. Whatever happens when you're preaching for Jesus, whatever the outcome, God will bless you. And he'll continue to embolden you to step out more in faith. Like Peter did, to get out of the boat. Peter was the only disciple that got out of the boat, if you remember, after the storm. Yes, he did sink. But the other 11 stayed in the boat. Peter took that step of faith. And what stops us from getting out of the boat? What stops us from being bold in our Christian life for the gospel? Well, it's obvious, isn't it? It's fear. I read earlier on, fear. Fear is the thing that can cripple us emotionally and physically as human beings. And fear is quite natural in many ways, but sometimes fear can take over in our lives. And then the what-ifs come into play. You know, you're going round in your mind when you think God is telling you to do something, and you're saying, but what if I muck it up when sharing the gospel? What if I upset someone? What if they attack me verbally or physically? What if, what if, what if? And all these things come into play, and the enemy uses those to defeat you in your Christian journey. But remember God's promises. He has promised that he will never forsake us or leave us. And he said to Moses, I will be with you. This is the same God that spoke to Moses that speaks to us now. And in Hebrews 13, we're told, again, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will never be afraid. What can man do for me? That's what the verse said. Now, this is a question of faith as well as anything else. Without faith, there is no boldness. Do we believe God's word or not? That's the question. Do we believe what this book says? Do we believe it? And yes, there will be a cost. Let's not kid ourselves. Being a Christian is tough. There'll be a cost because there'll be a time. It'll be a cost in time, a cost in effort, a cost in money, a cost even in pain, possibly. But we have to ask ourselves, is Jesus worth it? And our souls going to hell worth it? That's the bottom line. Let's be realistic here now. Our God, Jesus, if we love him, has to be worth it. And therefore we have to be about what he is calling us to do in our lives. So that I would say to you, surely the answer is that Jesus is worth it. If he's not, what's the point of being a Christian? As we read in Hebrews 11, many of the great people of faith in the Bible were afraid and had doubts. There was Gideon, Esther was afraid, Peter was afraid, all the apostles, they left Jesus. These were great people of God. These fears and mistakes, however, did not stop them in their faith. They learned from them. And that's the key sometimes when you fall flat on your face for the gospel, is to know that God wants to pick you up and he wants to move you on. And with his help, he moved them on to preach, heal, and teach God's word with love and boldness. And that is the same God we have today, and it's the same God that wants to use us. He wants us to be full of love. He wants us to be full of boldness. He wants us to be moving in the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you were around during the First World War. Not me. Glyn might have been. I don't know. But when they needed recruits for the army, the navy, and wherever, the air force, I don't know if you've seen the picture, they had a poster of an officer, I think it was Kitchen, and he was pointing out to the poster and saying, your country needs you, your country needs you. Well, I believe God is pointing at each of us this morning, and he's saying to us, the kingdom needs you, the kingdom needs you. Not somebody else, he needs you. That's scary, isn't it? It's scary. I find it scary. And the question is, will we answer the call? Because I've already said there will be a cost, as it was with the early Christians. Jesus said to his disciples, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, which is great news. But I have chosen you out of the world. This is why the world hates you. This is our Saviour Jesus telling us that we will be hated. Now, boldness will mean different things to different Christians. It's not just about sharing your faith, obviously, with others. That is important. But it's also about growing in your faith. And for us as Christians, sometimes it's about taking risks. And what can those risks be? For some of us, it's praying in public for the first time. Sometimes it's about going to house groups. House groups are great, but when you're in a house group of five or six people, there is nowhere to hide, is there? You cannot hide in the congregation like you are now. That is about being bold sometimes, about stepping out. agreeing, like Steve has, I know he's done it before, to take part in an activity that you don't always feel you're up to the job for. God says he will equip us and he will embolden us and give us all that we need. For us, it's like cliff jumping, jumping off a cliff without a parachute, and trusting that God will catch us and not let us fall. Again, it's about stepping out of the boat, out of that place of safety, and into the unknown. As I say, faith, it's all about faith as much as anything else. Faith is not a feeling. Remind yourselves of that. We told in Hebrews 11. Now, faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. Does that make sense? I don't know. But it's about living your faith. It's not about how you feel, because you can feel different from this morning to this afternoon to this evening. It's about choosing to believe that what the gospel says is true, that Jesus died for our sins, that he loves us, and we have a home in heaven, and that we are called to be God's messengers. So we need the Holy Spirit to anoint each of us. He will anoint us in boldness to step out in faith. And also we have one another to share our thoughts and feelings with. It's so important to be a part of a collective group, a church, however big or small that is, so that we can pray with one another and encourage one another as we move on in our spiritual journey as a Christian. But the most important thing is the Holy Spirit. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to have room in your life. It's allowing him to do the business. And the question we ask ourselves, do you believe that? Do you believe that the Holy Spirit can use you? The other question we have to ask ourselves sometimes is, can I be bothered? Can I be bothered? Let's be honest. That's crossed my mind on many times. I'd be pleased to know I'm nearly finished. The secret to change and growing as a Christian is to recognize your failings. Well, I think that's quite easy for many of us. And our hang-ups, and place them at the foot of the cross and allow Jesus to deal with them. You don't have to go around with these things on your shoulder like a big heavy kit bag weighing you down. Jesus said, bring all your problems, all your trials and tribulations, and lay them at the foot of the cross. We need to allow Jesus to deal with them. We need to be honest with God. God knows anyway. God knows what's going on in our life, but it's more important for us to do that so that we can come into a relationship with him. Being bold does not mean being foolish to go into situations where angels fear to tread. God has given you a brain, okay? So don't dismiss that. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you and guide you, and you will get it, and you will get it right. And sometimes you will get it wrong. But that's okay, because God sees your heart. If you want to be used by God, and I've said he does want to use you, then you need a good dose of the Holy Spirit to fill you and to refill you, because I think it's Tozer, a well-known writer of books in the last century, said, we need the Holy Spirit time and time again because we are a very leaky people and we need to be filled and refilled. The Holy Spirit is about the first anointing, but then we need to be refilled. If you've got a car, you don't just fill it up once, and then it goes on forever. You have to keep filling it up with petrol. And it's the same with us as Christians. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to continue to speak to us, to fill us, to guide us, to bless us, to use us. So don't miss out though on what God has for you this morning. Okay? Don't miss out on the fact that God wants to bless you with his Spirit and move you on into an area that is different, that is new, challenging and exciting. I'd just like Christine to come up now and just share something that she's been given, and perhaps this would make more sense than my talking has for the last 20 minutes or so. So it's about being bold and taking God at his word.
And then at the prayer meeting on Wednesday, we felt that it was for everybody. But first of all, just to say that what Paul's been saying, we were in this conference Friday, and It was the story of the five loaves and the two fishes, and the little boy brought what he had. In his mind, he knew it wasn't enough. But when he brought it to Jesus, he stood back and let Jesus do it, and it was more than enough. So just bring yourselves. And this is what God gave me. Walk with me. We will talk together. I want to use you. So do not be a hindrance to me by thinking too little of yourself. I love you with an everlasting love. So walk with me. And the precious blood of my sinless Son, your Saviour, will accomplish its good and perfect work in you. I am all in all.
Okay. I really love that message that says so much in a few short words. So this morning now we're going to go into a time of just quiet reflection, praise and worship. Just consider where you're at and what God is saying to you this morning by His Spirit, okay? If you want prayer, be bold. Come out for it, okay? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You're amongst friends, Christian friends, even though we might know each other very well, some of us. We are still sons and daughters and brothers and sisters.